Introducing Elvis Presley.
Built around the fiery personality of Elvis Presley.
Here is an Elvis Presley you've never seen before.
It's Elvis on a love campaign.
It's Elvis, Hawaiian style.
And Elvis takes both sides.
Elvis rocking and socking on the waterfront.
Elvis brings you the vacation of your life.
A different kind of man, Elvis Presley.
It's a new Elvis, one you've never seen before.
Viva Elvis, Viva and Margaret.
Now he crowns his meteoric rise to fame with a fiery burst of dramatic power.
Hey everybody, and welcome to the Starring Elvis Presley podcast. I'm Libby.
And I'm Sheena.
And today we are talking about Wild in the Country.
Yes.
We just finished.
Seventh movie.
Yeah, 1960.
Yeah.
And for a minute there, when you first watched the show, when you watched the very beginning, we weren't sure what the time frame was.
Well, I mean, I knew nothing about it. I'm trying to go into a lot of these knowing very little. So I'm sort of going in with very fresh eyes. I mean, some stuff you just know about, like you know about Jailhouse Rock, or you know about Blue Hawaii, some of the bigger ones. But I didn't know a whole lot about this one. So at first I was like, oh no, another fight, oh no. And then he runs away and you see all these critters. There's raccoons and bears, oh my. And I was like, oh, so another like Western back in the 1860s.
Yeah.
But it's
1950s. It's 1960s, yeah, it's pretty... and there's not a whole lot of country for the title being Wild in the Country.
There are some southern accents and some southern, I think, stereotypes.
Right.
That, you know, there's some, you know, I don't want to say southern stereotypes, but you know what I mean? Just sort of backwards thinking.
Right.
But maybe it could have been just thinking for the 60s, too. I don't know. But, you know, just because as we were saying toward the end of the movie, I mean, spoiler alert, Hope Lang's character is, like, totally... destroyed there at the end.
Yeah.
Based on
she
Bremer
loses her
alone.
Whole reputation.
Yeah, I mean, something that wouldn't have happened today, you hope.
Right.
So yeah, Elvis is wild in the country. He's dating everyone he can possibly date.
Yeah, this is one of those movies where he's got three options of leading ladies and he kind of tries them all on for size, for lack of a better...
Well, he has such a terrible attitude. I mean, he's sort of young and wild and immature. He's, dating all these different girls, sort of seeing who fits, and some are better options for him than others. But he's also...
None of them are very ideal.
No, not really. Some are better than others, though. I'm sorry, don't date your cousin. Anyway,
yeah.
That freaks me out. But anyway, but I get it. They were not, like, first cousins.
Like, second or third cousins.
Yeah. Either way.
Y'all, this is a long movie, too. This is, like, 2 hours.
But yeah, and he's really smart, though, and he's apparently a very good writer, so his social worker slash therapist slash a potential love interest in the movie is sort of like, you need to get out of here and go to college.
Right.
And thank God he does.
Right. And that's the only love interest of his that kind of puts his interests before her own.
Yeah.
So much so that she begins to kind of lose her reputation because she's... court-appointed therapist. And, you know, there's one moment there where it's like, no, you're not about to have a relationship with your therapist there. But he does.
He tries. He falls in love with her.
Yes, they fall in love.
And she's a great character. She seems like a really great woman, but just at the time of his life, where he is versus where she is, they don't make a very good match. So
right.
He needs to go to college. He needs to grow up, get an education, and then maybe they can fall in love.
This is also the second movie, at least, where Elvis kills somebody accidentally in a fight.
Yeah,
it's like, come on, we gotta. Elvis plays the bad boy in a lot of
these movies,
and this is this is a big one. Yeah. So the first scene is a fight with his brother, and his dad is witnessing this and just doesn't care. It's like, y'all fight it out, literally.
Yeah.
His brother throws a pitchfork at him and narrowly misses him, and so he's further aggravated about that, and like hits a chair over his brother's head, and that. It doesn't kill him, but it's very serious.
I think it would hurt.
And then we fast forward until the court date when his dad kind of stumbles in later. And he's like, oh, I didn't know what day the court was. And it's obvious that he doesn't care about his family or his son's welfare.
Right, and so, Elvis's mom has passed, and so he really doesn't have a lot of... He's not surrounded by a good family situation at all.
And then for a minute there, you see a potential savior in his uncle, who's really his cousin, because it's his mother's cousin who steps in and says, you know, he's my nephew, I'm going to take him in, and I'll have him work for my my business, and he can stay with me, and I'll try to set him back on the straight and narrow.
Right.
And so you think, okay, good, so this is going to really help him out. No, no. He's just wanting Elvis to marry off his daughter, who was in the family way and needed a husband.
Yes.
So, really, it's just a cycle of Elvis being used by all these people.
Yeah, yeah. And let me say, too, his name is, what, Glenn Tyler?
Yes.
So I'm really bad about saying, Elvis did this, Elvis did that, but it's Glenn Tyler.
It's Glenn Tyler, yes.
I keep wanting to call him Tyler Glenn, like the singer, but no, it's Glenn Tyler. I'm getting it all backwards. But yeah, so he's just sort of, everyone's sort of taking advantage of him. He's sort of not sure what to do with his life, but his therapist / social worker, whatever she is, he's ordered to go to her. To sort of work out his issues.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she sort of sees the good in him, and I think she's the first person to really see that Glenn has a purpose, that he can be something more than just, you know.
Yeah, and the talent in him, because it's like, you know, she says you don't have to pretend to be a dumb country boy to me, because I know you're smart, I know you're a good writer. And yeah, now we mentioned his cousin, who his uncle's trying to marry him off to.
Yeah.
And that character is Noreen. So Irene is the therapist, Noreen is the cousin, and Betty Lee is his girlfriend. Another girlfriend who he just has happened to have this whole time. And that's a long movie, but there's so many B and C and D plots going on.
And so much stuff that to me was sort of like... stuff that people would get mad about in one scene, but then be cool with in the next scene. Like, there's one part where, like, Betty Lee's parents are mad because... Or, no, they're cool with him because he's late, but he wants to take her out at, like, 10 o'clock at night. I'm like, my mother would have, like...
No.
Been like, no, you're not going out with some guy at 10 o'clock at night.
No.
And he stood you up, too. I mean, you know, for several hours. Even if he did have a good excuse. But then later, like, they're flying a kite. And they're like, no, you're not going to fly a kite with him. Oh, my God. Yeah. Not in the middle of the day. Like, God, no.
Yeah, like, 1 in the afternoon. So there's
it
some...
It was on a Sunday. I think he was mad it was on a Sunday.
Yeah.
But still, there's nothing wrong with flying a kite on a Sunday, okay?
Apparently, in that part of the country, they have laws against flying the kite on Sunday. Oh, man. But, yeah, there's so much going on here. And so this, I don't remember, do you know when this was filmed? I know it came out in 1960.
It came out in 61, actually.
Oh, 61. Oh, my bad. Well, you know.
Filming began November 11th, 1960, and then it was completed January 18th, 1961. It was 2 weeks late. In filming.
Oh, my.
So
there is a part in this movie where Elvis' character, Glenn Tyler, Glenn Tyler is talking about how the loss of his mom really affected him and how he really cared for her, and he would have tried to take care of her.
Yeah,
and
he
kind of compares her to a slave in his father's household and says, you know, I wish I could have done more for her. But Gladys, Elvis's mom, actually passed away in 1958.
Right.
So when we were watching that, I thought, man, that must have been really tough or cathartic for Elvis to be acting that part of Glenn's character.
Yeah. And, you know, I think there have been several of Elvis's movies that have dealt with, I don't want to say mommy issues, but issues
with the loss of
a
parent.
Yeah. And sort of being really close to a mom or not having one and really missing her or whatever. So it's kind of interesting to me.
And we also said so many of these movies are based around the character Elvis plays.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, because so many women flock to Elvis and the studios want to capitalize on that, there's also a lot to be said about what these movies say about women at the time.
Right, yeah. I mean, like, in Flaming Star, it was sort of like, you know, his mom was this really cool lady who stood up for herself and her family and her tribe, really. And, you know, in this one, I think it says so much that Hope Lang is so... her character is so respected in this film. She's, you know, she's got a... she's got her own business, being a therapist, social worker.
She's kind of the top of her field.
She's doing really well.
Yeah.
And, you know, one supposed fling with one of her patients is totally completely her undoing, not just professionally but personally as well. I mean, that last scene in the courtroom is brutal, and you kind of almost don't blame her for doing what she does at the end of the movie.
Which, spoiler alert, she tries to kill herself.
Right. Which, I mean, she has nothing left. You know,
right.
I mean, everything's been kind of taken away from her, so you sort of feel for her a lot because she's going to get totally just roasted for nothing.
Yeah.
Basically.
Now, at the end of the movie, y'all, so how do we wrap up this? So, what we're talking, the supposed fling, Irene brings Glenn Tyler to a college. You know, you should go to college. We're going to try to set up a scholarship for you. Kind of a happy ending there. And then they try to leave and go back home. Well, it's pouring down rain, and they can't drive in the rain, so they stop and stay, and they get two separate rooms at a motel. And another character's son comes to the same hotel, sees both of their names on the motel register, and starts a rumor that they stayed together and that there's an inappropriate relationship.
Right.
And that's what's kind of thrust to the forefront.
There is a moment where Glenn and Irene are thinking about maybe, you know, he
confesses
his
love. It's Valentine's Day coming up, y'all.
Yeah, and so he does confess his love, and they do sort of, there's a you know, little bit of kissing and all that, but they ultimately do not spend the night together.
Right. They call it quits before it gets
right.
started.
Right. But because that guy saw, you know, he saw the names, and then he saw their shadows on the wall, the silhouettes.
Yes.
He just automatically makes up this story and thinks what he has seen is the truth, and he has no idea.
Yes.
And it's just everyone's undoing after that, really.
Right, right. It is. And then, through a few other unfortunate events, Glenn Tyler is upset by this man who's slandering he and his potential relationship partner. And so he goes out and punches him. And this is actually my favorite Elvis fight, because it's actually not a fight. It's literally it's literally just a knockout. He punches him and he is down for the count.
Yeah.
And
literally
so
he's dead.
Yeah, and he's actually dead. Yeah. It's like the flashback to the beginning of Jailhouse Rock. It's like, come on again, Elvis.
Yeah.
You should know your own strength at this point. You know, back it down a notch or two.
Yeah.
But and that's what the court, what the hearing is for, what the trial is for, is for manslaughter again. But yeah, there's so much going on. And then the other thing that kind of caught me off guard is that there's no denouement for the other two leading ladies, or potential leading ladies.
Yeah, you kind of don't know what happens with them.
Yeah,
I mean,
so you see Noreen, his cousin, who's finally got some clothes on now, because throughout the whole beginning of the movie, y'all, I mean, everything she had on was, like, falling off or undone, or she was barefoot, or she was very disheveled.
Yeah.
I mean, they really did a good job of making you feel like, man, she ain't going nowhere in life.
And she's not, but I think, too, they also make her, they made her out to be, you know, sort of the, what's my word? Like, she's being a very big temptation.
Yes.
She's there. She's right there at
like,
home. She looks so cute. She's really adorable.
Yeah.
But she's also sort of flirting with him, and he's sort of flirting with her, and so she's very much a big old temptation.
Yeah, I mean, in the back of the DVD case that I'm looking at right now, it says an all-star cast with his seductive cousin and childhood sweetheart. It's like, seductive cousin. I don't know. Maybe I'm not the audience for that. But I was like, why do they think that's seductive? But so anyway, you see Irene after she recovers, because they catch her in the garage because she's trying to die from carbon monoxide poisoning.
Right.
So she recovers and she puts him on a train to send him to college. You know, we see that their relationship has kind of started.
Mm-hmm.
And then you see Noreen run past her car into the train station and see them leave together.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess you kind of feel like, oh, well, I guess she knows that her potential partner there, and really way to get out of this barefoot and pregnant stage that her dad's trying to keep her in.
Yeah.
But maybe there is some hope. Maybe I'm more than doing my fair share of analyzing that she's got, like, a real costume on. Like, she's got sleeves and shoes and a belt, and she's not just wearing, like, a burlap sack hanging off her shoulders. I'm not exaggerating. That's what she's wearing, pretty much.
But, yeah, and then Betty Leeds, she's sort of, we see her at the trial, but that's it. I mean, we don't really know what happened to her, so we just know Elvis goes to college.
Yeah.
Which is the best ending possible for him.
Right, right.
So.
So, y'all let us know what you think about it.
Well, we have a few reactions, but we'll share those later. We'll tackle some trivia right now, if that's cool with you.
Yes.
Yes, Elvis's seventh movie. This was made for 20th Century Fox. It opened nationally June 22nd, 1961. It reached number 11 on Variety's weekly list of top grossing films, so it did okay. You know, it's a very dramatic film, and it's a very dramatic role, so I think a lot of audiences probably just want to see him sing.
Yeah.
He didn't sing a lot in this, actually. Wild in the Country is a phrase from Walt Whitman's Leaves of Grass. It's actually based on a totally different writer's work, though. It's based on a book called The Lost Country. Hmm. Director Philip Dunn directed 10 movies, but he actually wrote 44 movies. You may have heard of some of these. How Green Was My Valley, The Robe, The Ghost and Mrs. Muir, and The Last of the Mohicans. So if you've seen those movies, the guy who directed this one wrote those.
Wow.
Elvis and Tuesday Weld did Date, of course. A lot of fans know that.
And so that's Noreen.
Right. And then Millie Perkins, she's Betty Lee, this was her second movie, and she actually won an Oscar for Best Supporting Actress for her role as Anne Frank in The Diary of Anne Frank.
Which is so cool.
Surely you've seen that.
Yes.
And there's a scene where she slaps him. I don't know if it made it into the movie. I can't recall it right now. But Millie Perkins broke her wrist slapping Elvis. So, hey, that's a lesson. Don't slap Elvis.
Yeah. One punch Elvis.
Yeah. Wild in the Country was Red West's first speaking role. But not everybody loved Elvis and Tuesday Weld's character. Readers of Teen Magazine voted Elvis and Tuesday's gave them the Damp Raincoat Award for most disappointing performers of 1961. Ouch.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't like their characters together. I don't.
No, they're not great together.
They're very, they just
they
settle for each other.
Up. They
yeah.
need to grow up and do other things.
I'm sure they were better in real life than in this movie.
Yeah. There were two endings for this movie. One was in which Hope Lang's character lived, and another one where she died. Sneak preview audiences voted for her to live, so that's the one that was used. You may have noticed a couple of other actors in this movie who don't get a lot of attention because it's really based around Elvis and three ladies. Actor Jason Robards Sr., he's the dad of actor Jason Robards. Actress Christina Crawford, that's Joan Crawford's daughter. She wrote Mommy Dearest.
Then,
actor Pat Buttram, I hope I'm saying that right. You may have seen him in Green Acres, which I know I've seen 1,000 times. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. But yeah, some fan reactions we asked on Twitter and on Facebook for sort of just some general reactions to this movie. So if you want to give your reaction to the next movie, be sure to follow us on Twitter at Visit Graceland or on Facebook as Elvis Presley's Graceland. We'll put up a post and you'll know what to do. Anyway, Elizabeth on Twitter said, this is one of Elvis's best performances, and it's a pretty racy storyline. She ain't kidding, that's for sure. Linda on Facebook said she loved the banana oil scene between Elvis and Tuesday, the whole, you know, why does it smell like that? It's got banana oil in it, you know, mm-hmm. and then he drags her into the bathroom and they do things, I'm sure. Anyway.
Scandalous.
Yes. Irene on Facebook. Gosh, wonder why Irene would like this movie. Maybe it's because Elvis says, I love you, Irene. She said she liked it because Elvis says her name. Dina said this was her second favorite Elvis movie. It doesn't get a lot of publicity, but it's one she loves. And Ashley said it is her favorite. And she actually found out where it was filmed. It's at this, in Napa Valley, at a winery. And she went there just to see sort of what it was like. And
that's very cool.
Yeah, so very cool. And thank y'all for sharing that with us.
Yeah, make sure you follow us on Elvis Presley's Graceland on Facebook.
Yes, and at Visit Graceland on Twitter. The next movie is
Blue Hawaii. That's right. There's not a lot of songs in this and Wild in the Country, but we take a dramatic turn for the high-budget musical that Blue Hawaii is.
Yes, we'll have lots of songs and lots of colorful dancing and Aloha scenery. Hawaii scenery. whatever. It's going to be pretty, okay? And there's Elvis, so you don't get any better than that.
That's right. And if you want to see more, then you've got to come to Graceland, because we have a great exhibit up just for a few more weeks. The VIP Hollywood exhibit is From Teen Idol to Leading Man. You can see scripts, costumes, movie posters.
Really cool stuff.
really cool stuff that you only get to see here at Graceland in Memphis, Tennessee, and that's up just for a few more weeks, I think.
Yes, because then we will open up Elvis Presley's Memphis, and the whole career museum will have all kinds of movie stuff in there, as well as, of course, music stuff, too, because he was a singer. I don't know if y'all knew that.
But. Oh, yeah. He did some songs, too, just movies.
And, yeah, stuff about, you know, Elvis's time in Hawaii, Elvis's films, a little bit of everything, so... Yeah, you got to come to Graceland.
That's right. And make sure you follow us on those social media channels and tell us your thoughts on Blue Hawaii.
Yes, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks, guys.